Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter Babun fil Iqtisadi fil Ibadah, the chapter on having moderation in acts of worship. What this means, as we explained before, is that a person doesn't go into any type of extreme, that he does so much now that now he becomes so tired and he becomes despondent about deen. The deen is too difficult for me to practice. How can I practice? It's making me so tired, it's preoccupying me. Rather, a person does what he is required to do, and he does that extra which he can manage. How much he can manage, he does. And in the different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam once, that he seen a rope tied between two pillars. And that rope, when he inquired, was the rope of Hazrat Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned that Allah ta'ala does not get tired of rewarding you, like how you get tired and you get exhausted and you feel that I have to continue and continue. Allah Ta'ala knows that you're weak. In other words, when you need to rest, you take a rest with the niyat that I'm going to get refreshed so that I can make up and make more ibadat. Person doesn't continuously push it. Like that, a person, the time to eat, he eats. Time to sleep, he sleeps. So there's moderation in everything. This is the beauty of our deen. This is unlike the other religions you get. Sometimes you look at the Christians, and you see that those people that are involved in the church, the Pope and certain priests, etc., they don't get married. But then that not getting married now, so many other evils they get involved in. And when it gets exposed, then it becomes so embarrassing for them. But Islam is such that we get married also, we live also, we have children also, we have grandchildren. But you do everything in a clean way. So this is the beauty about Islam. Things that are clean, things that are good for a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it. And then there are certain hudud, there are certain parameters within a person, wherein a person should be practicing it. It doesn't go beyond that. Now this is the beauty of Islam, is that it's got everything, it accommodates everything, but within its due proportion. Beyond that, a person doesn't go. All he has to do is stay within the parameters of deen. So many things, as Yusuf Patel rahmatullahi alayhi would say, that Allah Ta'ala has made so many things halal. So many things halal. Why do we need to go to that which is haram? And Allah has made so many things. If we look at, we can see that so many things are halal. Only a few things Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us for. Now what is the need to us for leave that halal that Allah has given us, made it permissible for us, and now suddenly jump and trespass and go into haram? This is a great disappreciation, disservice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is doing this. Anyway, today's hadith, and Abi Abdullah Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhuma qal, kuntu usalli ma'an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as-salawat, fakanat salatuhu qasdan wa khutbatuhu qasdan, rawahu Muslim. Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhuma, he was a sahabi, and his father also was a sahabi. And he was a great sahabi, 146 ahadith are narrated from him. He passed away in Kufa in 74 Hijri. Anyway, Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhuma, he in one hadith mentions that by Allah, I have performed more than 2,000 salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine how fortunate he was. 2,000, more than 2,000 salah he performed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why this is important is we see in this hadith that he's explaining that he's not just saying this hadith just by the way, maybe one or two encounters of salah that he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a vast experience of salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this hadith, as Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu narrates, that I used to offer salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His salah and his sermons were moderate in length. In other words, it wasn't very long. Both his salat and his khutbah was moderate in length. It was the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he could say just a few words, it was sufficient. It was sufficient to take home a very, very great message. This was the beauty of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was known as Jawami'ul Kalim. And as far as his salah is concerned, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be cognizant of the people that are performing salah there in the masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam were careful of those that were weak, those that were ill, those children that were there. Sometimes the children would cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would terminate, he would finish the salah quicker, so that put the parents or the mother of the child at ease for the children that were crying. So this was the raham that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had. And another thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had was the fact that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was careful of every person around him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was careful. One side is the deen, how the deen has to be propagated. The other side is the sahaba, how to take the sahaba into consideration. And the other side was the fact that new people were coming into Islam, their temperament. So taking all that into account, this was how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam salat was. So here one thing we learn is that we don't keep the salat too short and we don't keep it too long. We take our cue from how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed his salat. This thing about riayat, of consideration, it was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only in his life, not only in his speech, even in his ibadat also, he would be very, very considerate of those around him. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, that لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ لَأَمَرْتُمْ بِالسِّوَاكَ لَأَمَرْتُكَ بِالسِّوَاكَ, that if I did not fear that it would become difficult for you, I would have commanded you to make miswak. In other words, miswak is such a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately today, we take it so lightly. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, As-salat allati yustaku alayha, ala salat allati la yustaku alayha, 70 marra. That salat, where a person makes miswak, and then he performs that salat. So in other words, when he's making his wuzu, he makes miswak, and then he comes and he performs his salah. Or he may have made wuzu long ago, so now just before the salah, or before he comes to the masjid, he freshens up and he makes miswak. So that salat wherein miswak is made, versus that salat wherein miswak is not made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that salat where miswak is made is 70 times more rewarding than that salat wherein there is no miswak made. So it shows us how valuable this miswak is. Ulama explained that because of the ahmiyat that the person has given to that salat, he taken out extra time to make miswak, cleanse himself more, show a greater respect to salat. So Allah Ta'ala is giving him greater reward. So anyway, in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that had I feared that it would become difficult for you, that it becomes compulsory now on you that you have to make miswak, لَأَمَرْتُكُمْ بِالسِّوَاكُ, I would have commanded you to make miswak. If Nabi Sallam had commanded, it would become wajib, and it would become difficult. But here Nabi Sallam is teaching us that you have to be very, very considerate. So he was even considerate on the Sahaba, that he didn't command them to do it, he encouraged them. So now it becomes something that is virtuous, and not something that is sinful. Allah Ta'ala, sinful by leaving it out. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, as we know today is Friday, we should increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should make it a point of reciting Surah Kahf. Encourage the family also to recite Surah Kahf, especially in this time of fitna and fasad. And try and come early for the Jummah Salah. And also try and take advantage of the time before Maghrib Salah to make dua. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.